Russian President Vladimir Putin has told France's president and Germany's chancellor he'll recognize the independence of separatist regions in eastern Ukraine. That's a move that will only further inflame tensions as the U.S. says Russia is preparing for war. Here's what National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told NBC this morning before that news broke.
They are, in fact, getting prepared for a major attack on Ukraine. So we will not close the door on diplomacy. We will go the extra mile on diplomacy. But we are also prepared with our allies and partners to respond decisively if Russia attacks.
Biden has said he'd meet, quote, in principle with Russian President Vladimir Putin as long as Russia does not invade Ukraine. NPR White House correspondent Asma Khalid joins us for more. So, Asma, the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov are meeting later this week in Europe. Biden would potentially be willing to talk, we're told, with Putin after that meeting. So is that meeting between Lavrov and Blinken seen as a precursor, or could something significant happen there?
You know, really, Celeste, I should clarify that I think all of this is extremely theoretical. The White House says it depends on whether or not Russia invades Ukraine. Even the meeting between the U.S. Secretary of State and his Russian counterpart is conditional on no invasion. I was told by the White House last night that a time and format for that Blinken-Lavrov meeting had not yet been set. None of that actually exists yet. And it does seem like the White House, while it is pursuing a diplomatic alternative, has continued to say that Russia is on the brink of war with Ukraine. You know, what we hear from them, though, is that until missiles fly, until tanks roll in, the White House believes that diplomacy remains an option.
So Emmanuel Macron of France was working the phones between Moscow and Washington over the weekend. Germany's chancellor scheduled a call with Putin today and has also been in touch with Biden. What do you make of the networking going on between European and American leaders?
You know, I think the administration has really gone to great lengths to keep in constant contact with the leaders of transatlantic allies and to work together to share intelligence, make sure that there's this united front in countering Russia. And some of that is about diplomacy and deterrence, but it's also about sanctions and trying to ensure that there is agreement in putting severe economic financial pressures on Russia if it were to invade Ukraine.
Although the U.S. is also warning that there could be human rights violations that Russia would carry out after an invasion, there was a letter reported by the New York Times and others that warned of a kill list of activists, journalists, various minority groups in case of an invasion. That's just the latest instance of the U.S. talking about the intelligence that it is receiving on Putin's plans. What is the strategy behind releasing this information?
Mm-hmm. You know, it is a deliberate strategy, I would say, from the Biden administration. We've seen this systematically for the past couple of months. They were talking about troops being amassed at the border, a false flag operation, saying that Russia would create this pretext for war. And even just last week, we actually heard them in the White House press briefing room publicly identify that Russia was behind a spate of cyber attacks in Ukraine. Yeah. And really, I will say that this is a twofold strategy. The White House is attempting to unite allies in their response to Russia. And by putting all this information out there publicly, they're hoping to create a consensus that Russia's behavior is out of line. But it's also to put public pressure on the Russians and to alert the world, I would say, but also specifically Russia, to this and to emphasize that they know what is going on in the hopes that they could potentially get Moscow to back down. You know, people, I will say, talk about U.S. intelligence, and I will say they have these memories of the Iraq war and moments when the U.S. government was not truthful. But the argument from National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan has been that this is very different, that the Biden administration is using intelligence to stop a war, not to start one.
And while all this is happening, there are a number of domestic issues that the White House is dealing with at the same time. There's the pandemic, of course. There is rising inflation. There's a stalled agenda in Congress. What are we seeing from the White House in order to keep their attention on what's happening domestically?
Well, I will say that this White House says that it can multitask and do many things at one time, though, you know, there's no doubt that time and attention has been diverted to Ukraine as a result of this immediate crisis. We talk about some of the other priorities. The president has pledged that he'll announce his Supreme Court pick by the end of this month. The White House says that that is still on track. But some of these other, you know, sort of more, I would say, just existential problems that have plagued the White House, the pandemic, the stalled congressional legislation, the inflationary pressures. These are all issues that have been dragging the president's approval rating down, and people are frustrated. You hear this in focus groups. You see this in polling. They are tired of the pandemic. They are tired of seeing rising prices at the grocery store. And, you know, I think, Celeste, one thing that's really interesting to me is that when you talk about Ukraine, there is this sense, you know, from the American public that it feels very far away. And we heard the president last week deliver this speech about Ukraine, trying to set expectations for what this might mean for Americans. And he did emphasize that potentially if Russia were to invade, you could see rising energy costs. And that's a liability at this moment in time when Democrats are already facing questions from the public about rising costs, inflation at levels they have not seen in four decades.
Everyone's kind of still holding their breath at this point. That is NPR White House correspondent Asma Khalid. Asma, thank you.
Happy to do it.